Hello, my name is Martrell Sanders. I am on the Spiritually Armored broadcast today, and I want to talk to you about something. But before I get started, I am an assistant minister at Smithfield Church of Christ. You can go to our Facebook page, which is Smithfield Church of Christ. You can check out our videos of our services and our times. We usually start at 10 o'clock Sunday morning. For our Bible class, 11 o'clock for our worship services. But being a Christian, for over 20 years now, I came to the realization that a lot of individuals think that they are righteous, really, in the things that they do, and they become comfortable, but not having God's word, which is Hebrew 4 and 12, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of man's heart. It's sharper. So the word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So without having that to do an introspective look into one's thoughts, into one's very being, man will feel that they are justified in the ways that they live. They will do things in a way that is very detrimental when it comes to the kingdom of God. But in their mind, they're justified until they come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to share with you an example of an individual who thought that he was doing God's will. But deep down in his heart, he was doing his own. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Let's look at something. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. I'm using the King James Version. And we're going to look at verse number 16. And behold, one came and said unto Jesus, "Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Good master. He identifies Jesus as a teacher or as a master. What thing I must do to have eternal life? And then Jesus answered and said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." So he was saying, you have to keep God's commandments. And then this very righteous young man said unto Jesus, he said unto him, "Which, Jesus?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The young man sounded like he cut him off. The young man said unto him, "All these have I kept from my youth up. I've been doing this since I was young. I am righteous. Yes, I've been doing these things by the will of God. I've been living this long life of doing God's commandments." Jesus analyzed the situation. He said, okay. Verse number 21, Jesus said to him, "If thou wilt be complete or mature," or this word perfect, "go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven." Remember in Acts 10, when Cornelius was offering up his alms, doing many services to those in his area, the scripture says it went up as a memorial before God. Go and sell what you have. Give it to the poor that thou will have treasure in heaven. Sounds pretty easy, right? Come and follow me. But the young man heard that saying and he went away sorrowful. Why? For he had great possessions. Let me ask you a question. What is that one thing, that one passion that drives you? What is that thing that you cannot live without? And I'm not talking about a cell phone. I'm talking about something deeper. What is that one thing that holds you back? I remember in John chapter 6, starting at verse number 60, these men were following Jesus, and Jesus was feeding them when they were hungry. And when Jesus started saying some things, the scriptures, Peter and John says, Father, or Jesus, you are saying things and they are being offended. And the scripture says many of them walk no more with Jesus. They walk no more. They turn back. Jesus looked at Peter and the rest of the disciples and said, will you go away also? Are we really, Matthew chapter 22, verse number 37, loving Jesus and God with all of our mind, with all of our heart, with all of our soul? Are we really doing that? Or are we doing this as a routine? We're doing this so that we can ease our guilt, because we understand the first day of the week is the Lord's day. So let's go through this ritual of offering up this worship, hoping that our hands are clean, because we can't offer up anything dirty before God. So we want to offer up something before God, but is our heart in it? Remember that rich young ruler? Oh, he was offering up things and doing all these commandments from his youth up. But what was on his heart? Greed. The scripture says this man walked away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I heard Bruce Lee said, for to be successful in life, it's not about what you add. It's about what you eliminate. Now, when you think about offering, let's say you're trying to be healthy and you're trying to gain muscles. You can lift all the weights you want. You can do all these works. But if you're not eliminating sugars and fats and greasy foods, you will have no gain. See, what are we eliminating in our Christianity? What are we willing to eliminate? As a matter of fact, Jesus says in Matthew 16, 24, if any man come after me, you got to eliminate something. You got to deny yourself. That means it's not about you any longer. That's why we are servants of Jesus Christ, actually having in our minds slaves of Jesus Christ, which means we are under his authority, under his rule, and we take directions from what he wants us to do. It's not about us anymore. As a matter of fact, in Philippians 1 and verse number 20, Paul says, Christ is magnified in my body. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Now, when we look at your body, we put a magnifying glass up to you. Do we see Christ? Or do we still see who we are? And we'll see Christ on Sunday. You might see him in our works when we do a little here and there giving, or do a little bit of commandments like this rich young ruler did. What is holding us back from giving God all that we have? What is holding us back? Is Christ magnified in our body? He said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. This rich young ruler did not deny himself. He walked away from God with a whole lot of money in his pocket. But money can't buy you joy. It can buy you momentary gratification, but it'll never satisfy you. It could buy you a house, but it won't buy you a home. It could buy you an entourage, even many men around you, but you won't have real friends. What can money really do for you? I remember in Afghanistan, and especially when Bin Laden was found, they actually saw money that was burned when they discovered his body, because he didn't have anything, no wood. He burned money, and when he was in hiding, he used it as heat to stay warm. So what does money really, really do? Can it do anything for your soul? What is holding us back? This man walked away sorrowful. Do you know there are many individuals who you try to tell the truth to, who you try to share the gospel with, and they will hear the gospel, and they will be at the point of stepping across that threshold of salvation, going, entering in to the kingdom, get to the door, you got to deny yourself. You got to get rid of your lust, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. You got to let those things go. And guess what? They be right in the services, and they will not obey, and they'll walk away sorrowful with a pocket full of money, with their lust, not having the desire to deny themselves. As a matter of fact, in Romans 6 and 3, if it, you know you're not as many of us who are baptized in Christ's death, therefore we are buried by baptism into his death. So we have to die spiritually. This old man is dead. I believe that just like this rich young ruler, a lot of us, we're doing the commandments. But what does our heart say? When God examines us, Jeremiah 17:9-10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. I test man. When we put in our offering, is it the first fruits, just like in Israel, where they had to give their best fruits, or it is money that we had left over from last night? We put that in the plate. When we're singing, are we giving him our best first fruits? Or are we kind of just yawning and singing at the same time? Are we honoring God with everything that we have? Jesus says, give all those things away to the poor. Empty yourself so that I can fill you. He will fill you. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 6, no man can serve two masters. You can't have mammon, unrighteous mammon, or riches as your motivation in life. I'm trying to get to the top of this business or whatever it is, and have God at the same goal. You can't. It's two different directions we're running into. It's like tug of war. One of them will win. So I have this conversation to say, let us give God everything that we have. Let us serve him with every fiber of our being. Let us empty ourselves, just like Paul did. Paul says, and let's go there. Let's go there. Romans chapter 1. I hate sometimes quoting, but I want to get us to look at it. Romans 1 and verse number 15. Paul says, Romans 1, verse number 15, so as much as in me is, with every fiber of my being, Paul is saying, for as much as in me is, I am ready to preach, the scripture says. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Why? For I'm not ashamed of it. Maybe that's why we're not ready. Maybe that's not where we're not giving it all I got, because maybe we're ashamed of it. Maybe we're afraid of the persecution. Remember in 2 Timothy 2? Let's go there. In 2 Timothy 2, maybe it's their shame associated with it. 2 Timothy 2, let's look at verse number... 2 Timothy 2, let's look at verse number 10. Paul says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, remember we talked about that, dying, right, being baptized into his death, if we be dead with him, we also shall live with him, and we walk in the newness of life. Right? If we suffer, we should also reign with him. Remember Jesus, he suffered. You remember when Jesus was walking, they were beating on him as he was, Luke 9:51, Jesus set his face to Jerusalem knowing that I got to go into this place of suffering. I got to walk toward Golgotha, the place of the skull, so that I can be crucified. He walked that direction, and therefore they were spitting on him. They were hitting him with sticks and slapping him and beating on his back with whips. He suffered, but then he reigned when he rose on the third day. As we said in Matthew 16:24, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. But then he said, take up his cross. Therefore, we must suffer. Scripture says here, if we suffer with him, we should also reign with him. When we have these cross, right? This idea of the cross, sometimes people wear these necklaces and these cute bracelets. Oh, with the crosses on them. But do you know what the cross means? The cross is a sign of suffering. We suffer, we shall reign with him. Verse number 12, if we deny him, he shall also deny us. We have to take up our cross. If we go to 1 John 4, 1 Peter rather, 1 Peter First Peter 4, verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you. Listen, you will have trials. You will suffer. Jesus did. Come on. Now, we can't think we can carry a cross and make it on the other side without suffering if the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom footsteps we are following, suffered. We're living the life of Christ. That's what a Christian life is about. So there will be suffering, but if you think it not strange concerning the fire would try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice. Yeah, you have to rejoice, just like they did in Acts 8, when Paul, verse number 1 through 3 and 4, he ran in their establishments, hauling them off the prison, the church scattered, and guess what they were doing? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They rejoice. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 4 and chapter 5, you will find Peter and John preaching. They were told not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ any longer. They rejected that, say, we ought to obey God rather than man, and they went back to preach, and then they were beaten. But the scripture says they walked away rejoicing. Why? Because they thought of themselves to be worthy to suffer. Yes, they was excited. We were beating. Yes, we followed in Christ's steps. They were excited to be found worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. Are we ashamed? Are we willing to give it all that we have? Or are we like that rich young ruler? I'm not willing to suffer. This life is something. No, let me calm down. He says, don't think it strange, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Yes, I'm excited. Yes, that's how I know I'm going in the right direction. If you're not being persecuted, you might not be going in the right direction because it's associated with Christianity to be persecuted by the wickedness of man. So therefore, you are partaker of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, when we see him come down and we meet him in the air, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. We'll be able to meet Jesus in the air because we look forward to seeing him. We're not afraid. We're not going to meet him in fear. We're going to meet him in rejoicing and joy and say, Lord, we did it. We suffer for your name. We can be able to explain to him, Lord, I remember them days where I was being beaten and persecuted, but I held on, Jesus. I want to be known for that. I don't want to be known for as those men in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21, where he said many. Let's go there, Matthew chapter 7. In verse number 21, he said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Men that will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied your name? Lord, how many people we baptized? Lord, how many people we told some in the gospel meetings? Lord, we did all these things in your name, cast out devils, and did all these wondrous works. Jesus will say unto them, I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, how is it that that young ruler did all those commandments from his youth up, but still was lacking in his heart? Focusing on doing all these wondrous works with the wrong heart. So let us have the mindset to give God everything that we have. Paul says, I'm ready to spend and be spent, Paul said on one occasion. He says, for as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach. And we see all the books he wrote. We have to have the mind to suffer for Christ's sake. Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be that was in Christ Jesus, who being a form of God, right? Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Didn't think it was a crime taking away his prestige. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Made of himself no reputation and took upon the form of a servant. Came down here to serve. Came down here to get on his hands and knees and wash his disciples' feet. Came down here not only to wash Peter and John, but also Judas, the one that was preparing the way to kill him. Jesus washed his feet. Took upon the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let us do what it takes to be found obedient. No matter what comes our way, no matter how many people persecute us, no matter what desire that we have that we put before Christ, we must understand, just like Matthew 6 in that text, we have to seek first the kingdom of God. Let that be our motivation. His church, building his church, growing in the church. As John 15, he is the vine. We are the branches, a branch that produce fruit for the husbandry, right? So that he can have something he can take from us and use us. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14, let not light so shine that men may see our good works. They won't glorify us, though. They'll glorify God, which is in heaven. Let us have that on our hearts, on our minds. Let us get back, putting on that spiritual armor, fighting this spiritual war that try to captivate our attention. Sometimes we get caught up in social medias and caught up in the news and the political sphere of life. Let us be focused on the church and have, because we have the solution for the economy, right? We have a church. We have all things in common. Acts chapter 2, right? That's the solution to this pandemic, if you will. If every man joins the church, we won't have these problems. We have the solution for racism, the church, all nations coming together, right, into the body of Christ. The church is the solution. But in order for us to be the solution for the world's problems, we have to come into our institution, right? Make sure we are doing things with a whole heart, not distractions, just like this rich young ruler. So when they come into this environment, come out of the world, and they can find a kid out of darkness, come into this marvelous light, they'll see how families, wow, look at that, husband and wife. Look at that. Wow, it's a symbolization of the church, Ephesians 5:25. Look at that child and his father. Father not provoking him to wrath, Ephesians 6:2. They'll see how, look at this individual taking care of his parent. 1 Timothy 5, he's not an infidel. He is one that take care of his own. They'll be able to see righteousness because of us. But we have to have the mind to serve God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul, and not be like this rich young ruler, just doing commandments here and there. But to do it with all our heart is the key. Thank you for your kind attention now. Very excited to be a part of something like this, and hopefully we'll get to have a conversation again. Thank you.